business forever. He's one smart dude. How's that? No more fake news. John Rappaport. Before we get to John, I want to just chime in about ReadyMade Resources. ReadyMadeResources.com. Have you visited their site yet? If not, do so. Quality, top of the line, that night vision equipment. I tested some night vision equipment very recently, and I had I had an idea, but I didn't have the right idea. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can really be led down a wrong path if you're not careful with night vision equipment. The man to contact the company is ReadyMade Resources. Go there for night vision equipment. And of course, for your quality communication equipment, you're going to need this when everything kind of turns when everything goes south. And of course, they also have long-term storable food and other items that you will need. It's a one-stop shop. ReadyMadeResources.com. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
John Rappaport is our guest. NoMoreFakeNews.com. John, we brought you on. You were going over some things you wanted to discuss, and you mentioned some updates in the opioid epidemic here in the U.S. I saw last week that overdoses are now the number one cause of death in this country. I think it was 65,000 last year, which overtook gun violence in the 80s and car accidents in the 90s to be the number one overall cause of death right now in the U.S. You were
it would be cancer and heart disease are still up there. But the third leading cause of death would be overall medical destruction, including the opioids. The thing that caught my attention this week, which is mind-boggling, talk about the creation of actual zombies. The state of Ohio is suing five pharmaceutical companies for fraud, basically, deceptive advertising, in promoting the idea over a long period of time to doctors that these drugs like OxyContin and fentanyl and others are really safe, they're not really that bad, and they really do a wonderful job at alleviating pain. And as a result, catch these boggling figures. Depending upon which year you pick of recent years in Ohio, just the state of Ohio, $631 million opioid pills have been prescribed in one year in Ohio, up to 793 million opioid pills in one year in Ohio. So that would be enough to give every man, woman, and child in Ohio 68 opioid pills per year. This is a flood. Doctors are doing it. Pharmaceutical companies are driving it. The drugs are extremely addictive, highly addictive. They produce an initial euphoria, and then, of course, the addict needs more and more and more. And eventually the euphoria just goes away, and then you've got these horrendous effects, the collapse of the mind, for example, and extreme debilitation and death, the complete slowdown of the entire body system from these horrendous drugs. And Tiger Woods figures into this. Because his recent arrest on a DUI, if you really look into it, first of all, he's been on Vicodin for a long time, on and off. He's been in rehab in the past for this drug, which is one of the opioids. Very powerful, very debilitating, very addictive. And I have to issue a warning here that unless the person withdraws from the drug very gradually under the supervision of a professional who really knows what he's doing, underline, in terms of withdrawal, the withdrawal symptoms can be even worse than when the person is taking these opioids. So Tiger Woods has been hooked on Vicodin for a long time, on and off. He also reported that he was taking Xanax. Now, that's an anti-anxiety drug. And these two drugs are blamed in combination for causing him to be so hazy and incoherent. But in fact, that's a cover-up. Each of those drugs by itself can produce a horrendous state of mind. For example, with Xanax, you can get delirium, paranoia, psychosis, violence, and the same is true when people try to withdraw from Xanax. So here you've got a guy who has put himself under the care of doctors for a long time for surgeries and so forth and pain, and this is what they have put him in, a prison. Regardless of what you think of him, he's been in a addictive drug prison for a long time. That's the reality of his situation in the last several years. And this is just a typical case, really. So we've got this epidemic that's just going completely wild.
John, I mean, the numbers, certainly the numbers are indefensible. 631 to 793 million doses of opiates in Ohio alone. Now, that's staggering, and that's what your research has uncovered. My question is this, okay? Here's where I come down on this. My wife just had, she had to have emergency surgery. And, as a consequence, she has 60 staples. It was a big deal. Mm-hmm. A lot of pain. Mm-hmm. And I watched her, I watched the doctors almost reluctant to prescribe any pain medication whatsoever, even to the extent of saying, how about some extra strength Tylenol? Now, we're talking, I'm saying maybe 5 days after the surgery, okay, where the staples were, I'm looking at her, the incision, it's horrendous. Okay, now, I understand the recreational, I understand and detest the recreational aspect of opiate use. But where I have a problem is when I hear or when I witness this, my own wife in pain, and the doctors either afraid or reluctant to prescribe pain medication when it's necessary, medically necessary, because Tiger Woods wants to go get his freak on, or Michael Jackson or somebody. Okay, I have a problem with that. Okay.
Okay, well let me give you the other side.
All right.
Because I agree, you're absolutely right. Although in Tiger Woods' case, I don't think we're talking about getting his freak on. We're talking about spinal surgery and so forth, and knee surgeries. So, I think it's safe to assume in his case that we're talking about some serious, pain. In a real medical situation, a rational doctor knows or should know two things. Yes, you put the person on the kind of painkiller that's going to take away the pain. And then when it's no longer necessary, then you know enough to gradually withdraw that person in a professional fashion from the opioid, if that's what the prescription drug is, so that they no longer need it and no longer want it, because it does in many people produce this addiction, physical addiction. So it can be done. There's no question about it. The drugs can be prescribed that will take out the pain for as long as the pain needs to be taken out. And then the trouble with many doctors is that they don't understand about withdrawal. They don't consider it a big problem. They don't get what's really going on. Frankly, they're quite stupid, and they therefore become a danger to the patient. because you can prescribe the drugs when absolutely necessary, and then if you can withdraw the person safely. But in many cases, what happens is the person just stays on the drugs and then becomes addicted and then starts looking around to see where they can get some. So I agree with you totally, okay. When necessary. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm not, believe me, I am not an advocate of people taking drugs to get high. That's, look, I don't drink. I don't agree with that lifestyle. And you're right, perhaps Tiger Woods, I shouldn't have said that about him, given the fact that he does have some medical history that would indicate his need for some pain relief. And I believe that other people do. But again, I look at, you hear stories or read things that children, terminal cancer, not prescribed pain medication because of the fear of the doctor's fear that you know, right. they're gonna become addicted. So I get all that. So my question is, you found 631 million to 793 million doses out there in Ohio alone. So who's getting these? Are you telling me that who's writing these prescriptions?
So what we have here are what's called pill mills. And in many cases, doctors are running the pill mills. This is a conscious drug running operation. In other words, it's obvious there's not that many people in Ohio that are in severe enough physical pain to need that many doses prescribed correctly. That's for sure. So we're looking, and arrests have been made in some cases, of doctors who go totally rogue, trained medical doctors who have taken an oath to do no harm and are heading up these pill mills, writing prescriptions, and then they have distributors that are out there on the street with the pills, selling them to addicts and getting people addicted. This is not just in Ohio, this is all over the country. And people die. There's a doctor in Los Angeles who's recently been sentenced to between 30 and 50 years in prison because six patients died from the pill mill operation that she was fronting.
Is there that much profit to be made considering that much exposure and liability? Obviously there is, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there is, apparently, for these doctors, depending upon how big the operation can be, you know, millions of dollars. I don't know how many millions, but there, you do have to ask that question too. I mean, yes. Is the doctor successful in the first place in terms of their financial, situation? Or are these mostly doctors that can't get a good gig, they're existing on the fringe, and they decide to go completely rogue? But it's happening. It's happening all over the country.
Man, incredible numbers, incredible information. So how do you feel, John, and I don't know if this is kind of going away from your main point or if this is part of it. You've got this epidemic. You've got the heroin epidemic. But then you've got states legalizing marijuana. Is there a tie-in here somewhere?
Sure, I would say so. First of all, let's distinguish between medical marijuana, which has certain definite uses in some patients. And it's not only, you know, the kind that you roll up and smoke. I mean, there's all kinds of preparations and with different ingredients and so forth. But the kind of marijuana that's now being unleashed on the public and legalized is nothing like the marijuana that your parents or grandparents may have smoked. This is a whole different deal. We're talking about titanically powerful weed here that's been bred to be many times more powerful than it would occur in nature. And the method of using it has gone from smoking it to sort of the vapor operation where you can inhale huge quantities of it. This is a very dangerous slippery slope. And I'm not talking about, I mean, there are legal ramifications, but I'm just talking about health and destruction of health of young people who have no clue as to what's up the road for them. And then, of course, you know, we have the whole gateway situation. Does one drug become a gateway for other drugs? The answer is, in many cases, it does. For example, you get some people who are on opioids who end up getting heroin on the street because they are very similar. In fact, heroin is an opioid. So sometimes when they quote the death figures from opioids, they're actually including heroin deaths.
I believe that. In fact, I was talking with a police lieutenant here in our town who said exactly that. Somebody who dies with a needle sticking out of their arm, the coroner, our county coroner, lists that as a death resulting from opiates or opiate related death overdose.
That's right.
So, okay.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, they're in the same family. Yes, this is all part of the same framework, what we're talking about here. But, and I think there's something very sinister behind all this, but let me just give you a couple of other figures here from, and I've got an article up at No More Fake News about this, so the citation and all of that is there. Per year in the U.S. and Europe combined, 330,000 people die from correctly prescribed medicines. We're not just talking about opioids now, all medicines. 330,000 people die every year. So if you, you know, extrapolate that out to a decade, you're talking about 3.3 million deaths in the U.S. and Europe per decade from government-approved medicines. In addition, you've got 6.6 million hospitalizations in the U.S. plus Europe every year resulting from the severe adverse effects of those drugs, medical drugs. 6.6 million per year. And then on top of that, you've got 80 million per year in the U.S. and Europe, what could be called minor adverse reactions that nevertheless tend to hobble productivity at work. So we're talking about something very, very sinister here.
Well, your investigation, you're really the man on the street conducting the investigations and reporting on this. What is the sinister aspect of this? Because I'm a big picture kind of guy. I like to look at the big picture.
Me too.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, and you're right. It's impeccable.
For years, I kept on documenting, okay, the terrible effects of this drug and that drug and this drug and that, all medical drugs, you know. And I kept on to that story with blinders on. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know the facts. And I kept digging them up and digging them up and digging them up. And finally, one day, I said, hey, wait a minute, look. I've got the studies that show this. They're published in medical journals. In the United States, for example, the FDA approves all these drugs as safe that are killing all these people. The studies that are published in the medical journals that claim that all these different drugs are safe that are killing people are obviously fraudulent research. Then you've got the pharmaceutical companies who are making the drugs that are surely aware of these statistical numbers that I've dug up because they're not secret. They're published in open literature if you know where to find them. And all of these people are letting this happen and aiding and abetting it on a continuous basis. A continuous basis. So I began going down the rabbit hole, and what I came up with was, you can certainly take this back all the way to the birth of pharmaceutical medicine in the early 20th century when the famous Flexner Report was delivered at the behest of the Carnegie Foundation and the Rockefeller people, who were leaders in the new pharmaceutical medicine that attempted to destroy all of its competition, including herbalism and homeopathy, etc., etc., etc. These people basically created a killer operation. And then, coming up the line, one of the biggest pharmaceutical and chemical cartels in the world at the outbreak of World War II was IG Farben, famous Nazi cartel that put Hitler over the top in Germany in 1933. They were the octopus. They had deals with all manner of chemical and pharmaceutical companies around the world, and they were involved in some really gross experimentation on humans, really horrific experimentation on humans. There was a writer and author named Josiah Dubois, who wrote a book called The Devil's Chemists about IG Farben, who said he was sent down to Guatemala during the early part of World War II on a fact-finding mission, and he came back and said, as far as he could tell, Guatemala was a wholly owned subsidiary of IG Farben. That's how influential this cartel was, and they had deals with all manner of other pharmaceutical companies. And coming out of World War II, pharmaceutical companies rose to tremendous positions of influence, were key players in forming up what became the European Union and other political structures, shall we say, that were above the usual national governments. Tremendous influence through advertising on the kind of news you get and the kind of news you don't get in the mainstream. This has turned into an extremely sinister force in modern life behind the scenes that, to me, there is no way of avoiding the fact that they are trying to create debilitated populations all over the world, wreaking havoc, a form of chemical warfare against populations all over the earth to make populations easier to control, because people are so weak, so debilitated and distracted from these drugs. They don't know why, they don't understand what's going on, that people can't think straight, they can't reason, they can't take action, which makes it, of course, much easier for the takeover of populations. And that, to me, took me years to finally come to grips with this reality that I had been avoiding all along, saying, no, it's just people that are too stupid, they don't know what they're doing, bop, 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 bop. And yes, there are those people involved, but at the highest levels, we're talking about conscious intention.
For the subjugation of the population, ultimately, is what you're saying.
That's right.
The docile, compliant population. So much for, I guess people maybe want to rethink the disco biscuits from the 1970s. How many people remember those? Okay. Quaaludes. Quaaludes, big time, big back in the 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s, just as an example, became a class one substance by the government in 1984. But okay. But that's the ultimate objective is to create this docile population. So,
and you're looking, what, one in six Americans are prescribed to an antidepressant. You mentioned Xanax earlier, yeah. They're in the benzodiazepine family.
Yep.
Those are becoming much more common. And it seems like, for many people, it's an easy way out or an easy way to fix the issues that are going on in your life.
Exactly.
But in the long run, these medications are very damaging, and they affect each and every person differently.
My question, and we can address this on the other side, the CIA is in the drug business, correct? I mean...
Sure, has been for a long time.
are we doing the majority of the exporting, or are we doing the majority of the importing, or is it kind of equivalent on both? We're up against the bottom of the hour break here in about 60 seconds. I'm just curious. What would be your quick answer to that?
I'd say it's about equal, because you've got giant companies when you're talking about pharmaceuticals in a number of different countries. So the pills and the drugs just keep flowing everywhere in all directions, into the U.S., out of the U.S., into Europe, out of Europe, all over the world. All over the world. It's just like a tsunami.
Yes, it is. NoMoreFakeNews.com. John Rappaport is our guest. He's going to be with us for the next segment, taking us to the end of this next hour. And I got a lot to get into, a lot of questions, political and economic questions. We'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere. Again, folks, check HagmanReport.com. Liz Croken's article's up there for those who haven't read it. And there are
spread these other on pieces social going. Networking too.
Yeah, Stephen Menking and others are posting content up there. And the latest from Peter Choka, who will be with us tomorrow, is on there as well. We'll be right back with John Rappaport after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it is. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Tang Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changecoastandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
pharmaceutical companies, and we were talking off air about the lawsuit that's being brought in Ohio. Did you want to continue to talk on this subject, John?
Well, I can just kind of wrap it up. Okay. The reason that the state of Ohio is suing all these pharmaceutical companies, five of them, is because you got zombies walking around in Ohio. I mean, I got reports about this after I posted the article. Somebody's saying, yeah, I see these people all the time. They're zombies. They're just walking around dead on their feet from these opioid medical drugs. So Ohio is overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. The government, you know, is supposed to now spend money on rehabbing these people or somehow saving them. So they're suing the drug companies for intentionally developing treatment guidelines for doctors that vastly underplay and minimize the real heavy dangers of these drugs. And also for fake science articles and magazines that also downplay the dark side of the drugs. So the state of Ohio government is accusing these pharmaceutical companies of manipulating the doctors into believing that these drugs are okay.
Yeah,
and they're probably going to seek punitive damages on it.
By the way, folks, nomorefakenews.com, John Rapoport has really done a great job. The Matrix revealed, his works, by the way, the Matrix revealed the that product in and of itself is worth every penny. It's a fantastic product. It's a 250 megabytes of information, over 1,100 pages of text, 10.5 hours of audio. And then, of course, there's other additional information there. But his articles alone at his website, nomorefakenews.com, is just well worth the read. And he's an extremely adept investigative journalist, researcher. In fact, Jackie, my daughter, we were working in the office, and she had she saw, John, she saw your name, and she saw your picture on your website. And don't take offense to this. In fact, this was meant as a compliment. She said, he looks like the godfather of the internet news, the godfather of internet news. So it was meant as a compliment. But nonetheless.
I tried to get out and they kept dragging me back in.
They're dragging me back in. Yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness. Well, yeah. So, well, you're really on top of the drug and drugging of the population. But you said it best, and I think that people have to realize that it's the complete subjugation of our population, which is the goal of the Matrix. And
true.
I get it.
Let me spring something else on you. This is going to sound ridiculous, but this just occurred to me before I went on the air. Could the next president of the United States be James Comey?
Huh. Oh, huh?
Could he be? Yeah.
Well, wait a second. Why would you even think that?
Let's suppose, for example, a nobody peanut farmer who was the governor of Georgia came out of nowhere to heal the nation. Right after Nixon resigned, and he was promoted, and you know, he became like a demigod in the press before he was suddenly elected in 1976. Suppose, of course, we know that, I mean, multiple forces are trying to destroy Trump one way or another, right? And even let's suppose he serves out the whole term, 4 years. And let's suppose, I know this sounds crazy, that in the meantime, a legend is gradually built up about James Comey, the last honest man in America. A total fake legend, right? He's got a $10 million offer, looks like, sitting on the table to write a book, which can be, you know, spun a million different ways. And a movie coming after that. He was willing to go after both Hillary and Trump, so that proves that he's, you know, fair, the honest man, exactly what the nation needs after we have ridded the nation of that scourge of Trump, etc., as the left is rapidly trying to do. I could see somebody thinking to themselves, man, we could build this guy up and make him into the next president or a legitimate candidate if we play our cards right. Call me crazy, but it's possible.
It is possible, but I will say this. I think the establishment left and some of the anti-Trump right are angry with Comey because I think they expected more from him at the at these hearings. And because he did not throw Trump completely under the bus, even lie about him, I think that they are angry with him.
But what John said, though, Joe, that's what John's saying. I mean, he didn't fully throw Trump under the bus. This is what you're saying. So,
but I'm saying I believe that the leadership in the Democratic Party is very angry with Comey, and they wouldn't
today.
They are. Right?
Yeah, he would have to build bridges to the Clintons, that's for sure. But he has represented their interests in the past. So, yeah, I understand you. You're absolutely right. I'm just looking ahead here, thinking about, you know, how they could sanitize this guy. Because one of the things to me that the left is preparing to do is, well, if we can't get rid of Trump between now and the next election, and he serves out the term, hopefully we have convinced enough people so that whoever the Democrats run is then going to win under the banner of we must restore the nation to its former, you know, values, you know, whatever, you know, that happened
sounds
before
good.
This man came along.
Yeah. And see what John, what made me, or when Joe was mentioning that about James Comey, he did not live through the Carter years, the Nixon Carter years, that wound suffered by the country, and how Carter, every man's president,
right.
The guy with the sweater and the cold White House in the winter because, you know, we have to save energy and such.
Mm-hmm.
And so you didn't live through that.
No. But just the way we've seen all the Comey get in the middle of the 2016 election, all the Democrats being so angry at him about reopening the Clinton investigation, then the reports of him trying to blend into the curtains so Trump doesn't see him and him being afraid to be alone with Trump. I just don't see him ever outliving that. At least
he becomes
an elected official.
I'll tell you, John, you're thinking outside the box, though.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Oh, wow. All right. That's interesting. I just got shivers now. All right. Where to next, John?
Well, I think you guys had some political and economic questions. I mean, there's Comey's testimony.
Yes.
Which I thought was quite amazing because what did he really say? Loretta Lynch told me not to call my investigation into the Clintons an investigation, but to call it a matter. He said that he leaked his own memo of the meeting with Trump to the press, which, when you think about it, is kind of like saying there was no memo. What memo? I decided to leak something to the press. You have to trust me that it's an accurate report of my private conversation with the president. So I'm a leaker. these conversations are supposed to be confidential, but I just thought that I had to do this for the good of the nation. I had to do it. So that was the second thing. And the third thing was, we discovered that the president has a right to stop an investigation. Yep. Constitutional right, because the Justice Department and the FBI are under him in the executive branch. So even if he had said to Comey, you're not going to investigate Michael Flynn any further, this is going to stop, that's a constitutional act. There's no way that a president could be prosecuted for obstruction of justice or anything even remotely concerned with that. And other presidents have done this in the past, said to the FBI or through the Attorney General, there's not going to be any investigation of XYZ. You're going to stop it right now. And people accepted that as, you know, this is what presidents can do. So that whole business is a gigantic hoax as well. I mean, it's just, okay. Like I wrote, if this were a movie, you know, three people would have come to see it in the theater and it would have closed after one night.
Yeah, exactly.
So you, you gather that this is what they're doing, figuring Trump's not going to be able to be impeached or taken out of office for anything that they've claimed that he has done now. So what you said earlier about, you think they're continuing this to be able to continue to change the minds of people out there to pollute Trump's name and his reputation and create false stories where there is none?
They would like to be able to use anything they could get, you know, as impeachment, to the degree, you know, somebody, a congressman, has just written up some sort of articles of, you know, impeachment. They're going to try, but behind this all is just somebody who's quite smart, who understands public relations and propaganda. You know, we're going to attack this guy from 57 different vectors and directions, so that, and the word pollute is very accurate that you use, and we're going to try to pollute as much of the national consciousness as we possibly can, so that if we can't figure out a way to get him out of office before his term is over, we'll have enough people in the country who will vote against him the next time. That would be okay, if we've got to do that. I mean, Rachel Maddow is now leading the cable news, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't call it news, but, you know, race, as Peter Chalka described on your program.
Which is why that the American Thinker articles, the four that he has written, Peter has written, and folks, I would urge everyone to read those, are so important, because the takedown of Fox News figures exactly into that Rachel Maddow bell curve popularity factor.
Right.
It's a management of sorts. But you're right, too. You're correct in saying what has taken place, at least what I'm saying, is the fact that everything that's being, every story, every narrative, every account that is being created right now against President Donald Trump is to make him ineffectual, even in office. They're killing not just they're killing the president, and they're killing the presidency, in my view.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely right. To make everything that he tries to do, everything, ineffective, impossible, cut him off at the pass.
Right.
The transparency of operatives inside the federal government structure who are directly working against him out in the open is extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. People who either were appointed by him or by whoever is appointing people for him, or people that are bureaucratic holdovers from Obama and Clinton and whoever, Bush, you know, they're just doing everything they can to derail whatever actions Trump is taking completely.
Joe and I were talking about this earlier. How much of a factor do you think Obama is, how much of a role is Obama, do you believe, playing into what's going on right now? And that same question would apply to Hillary and Bill.
Central movers and shakers. Central movers and shakers. But still, I see them as agents. In other words, you want to coalesce people around a cause, you got to have a leader or a few leaders. And if the cause is basically to take out Trump any way that we possibly can, and you can get the Clintons over here and Obama over there, you know, you got a good start there. You got a good start. You notice that, what was it, maybe 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I don't know, there was a story in the press. Okay, Obama's staying in Washington, and he's got 35,000 troops, quotes, you know, volunteers at his beck and call to organize. You know, he's back to being now the community organizer for the nation to go up against Trump and to try to derail everything possible. A couple of stories appeared on that, and now nothing. Total silence. Like, why did that story get out? Let's cut that one down, and let's not have any more follow-ups on that, boys, because we want to keep this, you know, under the table. I absolutely believe that the Clintons and Obama, in concert and separately, are major players.
Yeah. And I believe that they're continuing to not only do things, you know, to organize the protesters, to get the, I think they're influencing a lot of decisions that lawmakers and even what media is reporting, you know, feeding with their old, I know Hillary Clinton, we just got some emails about why Hillary Clinton still has her top secret security clearance from being the Secretary of State. Right. So these people have access, and they have the connections and the backing and the loyalty from a lot of these people, especially in the media. So when we see these leaks and we see these some of these narratives that come out in the media, you know, it makes you wonder, and you can point it right back to people like Obama. And what was it? Didn't Loretta Lynch move into Obama's D.C.
compound?
So they're definitely up to no good.
You know, there's a phrase that to me applies to this, and I've seen one or two people use it: presidency in exile. This is when a president, normally in some kind of a country where the political situation is very fluid, to say the least, you know, and who knows whose side the army is on today and tomorrow and so forth. President is told, leave or die. And so he decides to fly out of the country, and he sets up his, quote, presidency in exile in some safe haven somewhere, and tries to do whatever he can to kind of worm his way back in. Well, here it doesn't work exactly that way, but the theme is the same. Only the presidency in exile is housed in Washington, D.C., where Obama's living. And the Clintons are part of that general operation.
Yeah.
You know, John, I can't help shake the feeling, and I don't know where this is coming from. I'll classify this in the same category as James Comey, potential president. Okay.
Right.
So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Obama, before he departed the White House, there were a lot of there's a lot of reconstruction in the White House. Potential rewiring, a lot of the things that were done in the White House. Obama, of course, living in Embassy Row right now, setting up that presidency in exile, which I applaud that phrase. I don't know where I was going with that, except to say I just see something really amiss with everything that he did. It was almost like he was preparing for this very situation. Or am I giving him too much credit?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you absolutely. Okay, boys, come on in. You know, I know you're here to wire this place six ways from Sunday so that we can spy on everybody that's coming in here. That's not hard to do. You have multiple layers of, you know, bugging and tapping and whatever you want, you know, surveillance, basically. I'm going to be down the street Okay. Now, also, which we know, Susan Rice scandal and Obama and so forth, in the waning days of the presidency, he decided that whatever NSA documents could be used to take down the next president and his team, that the NSA had, the National Security Agency, which had to be kept private and secret and no names released, suddenly could be accessed by other agencies of the government, like the FBI, the CIA, and who knows what other agencies, right? He decided that. We know that. He gave that directive, which means that pretty much anybody and his brother could now eventually get access to secret NSA spying on Trump, Trump's family, Trump's team, Trump's appointees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That the anything the NSA could pick up, other people embedded in other federal agencies would now have open access to, and they could do whatever they wanted with that. They could leak it to the press. They could use it as some kind of, oh, look, we got on this guy now. We could use this. I mean, this is like, to me, a full-bore operation we're talking about here. To quote, take back the presidency for the globalists, the collectivists, of whom Obama and the Clintons are agents. I have no doubt about that. This is organized stuff we're talking about here. I can just tell from looking at stories in the press for the last year. I mean, this is, you know, it's a propaganda op. This is how you do it. Okay, we got 16 media outlets here that are all on the same page, boys. So whatever we feed them, they're going to go with. We have to direct the campaign here, secretly and privately, and all of our thinking has to be about how do we not only, as you said, Doug, not only destroy the president, Trump, but the presidency itself. We're going full out here. Concoct the messages, get the ball rolling. We've got, you know, the most elite access to the elite press that you could possibly have, and we're going to organize this thing to the teeth, and we're going to have stories running every single day. That's what's going on.
Yeah, and they're doing a good job of this. John, we got about 2.5 minutes left. Do you believe that the media is going to continue to push the Russia collusion narrative? Or with the Comey testimony, do you think that is going to die down and they'll find something else to make up to damage Trump?
Okay, this is based on 35 years of experience as a reporter. They're never going to stop. They can't. There comes a point in the fraud and the hoax and the lie where you can't turn back if you're the people who are promoting it. Because to turn back means you admit, A, that you were completely wrong, and B, that you may well have concocted this whole thing for, you know, obvious reasons that had nothing to do with the truth. So to me, this will linger on for as long as Trump is in the White House. One way or another. It may go away at times, it may come back, but they're never going to let it go. They are never, ever going to say, oh, well, it turns out it really wasn't so bad after all, and I guess, you know, somebody overestimated this. Yeah, they could have done that maybe, you know, 6-8 months ago, but they can't do it now. They've gone too far with it. It's too crazy.
And folks, this is 3.5 decades of experience talking from John Rappaport, No More Fake News. And that you've got to respect that, that tenure and that, the observations. What do you think about the ruddy rumblings of, President Trump? Kind of thinking about perhaps causing the special investigator or special counsel to be terminated. Thoughts on that?
This is another one of these situations where you say, why did he appoint this guy in the first place?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, this is one of the mysteries that I don't yet think has been solved. Somewhere along the line, somebody is perverting these appointments. And it isn't just, you know, Mueller. Obviously, to anybody with any sense, knowing this guy's connections and his past and so forth, you know, he's the last guy. And we see this now with the appointments that he's making of attorneys. An attorney that represented the Clintons is now part of the special counsel investigation, you know. If I were Trump, I would just close the guy out tonight.
I agree. We agree.
Say bye. And then everybody goes, oh, you know, he's doing this because he doesn't want to be exposed and whatever. And then Trump should come in behind that and say, no, I'm doing this because the guy's crooked and bent. It was a mistake.
100% agree. John Rappaport, No More Fake News. You know, you took us, we weren't even paying attention. We were at the end of the segment. I just want to say thank you so much for coming in and checking in with us. And your discussion is always fabulous.
It's great talking with you guys. I always appreciate it very much, very much.
We love having you, brother. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
NoMoreFakeNews.com is the site. John Rappaport was our guest. We'll be right back after this network break. Don't go anywhere.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.